1 Corinthians chapter number 9. I found out just a few moments ago that Brother Hawkins' wife, Brother Harold Hawkins' wife, went home to be with the Lord. And I want you to remember Brother Hawkins. He stayed by the stuff many years. He preached revival for me. You know what I mean when I say that. He preaches for the Lord. But when I was pastor at Liberty, he came down and held revival for us. I love Brother Hawkins. He's a good man. He loves the Lord. I want to light in on a message today. The Lord has put in my heart early this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to begin reading in verse number 16. I don't know why today, but I do know that this is kind of a warning that the Lord is putting out today. It would be a warning for me and a warning for every one of us. Paul said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward." Y'all remember a while ago the choir was singing a song, and boy, did they do a good job on it. "Well done, my child." That would be reward enough right there, wouldn't it? To hear the same voice that cried from an old rugged cross, "It is finished." Say, "Well done, my child." What a blessing. Paul, he said, "I do this thing willingly," and he said, "I have a reward, but if against my will," he said, "a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." Let me stop and make a statement. I'm going to preach in a little while. One of the reasons that we're living in a generation that has very little respect for the house of God and for the man of God is because so many in the position have abused their power in the gospel. We're going to go through some things today, and I pray that God will speak to our hearts. Paul said in verse 19, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself," what's that next word? "Servant unto," what's that next word? "Servant unto all, that I might gain the more." I've told you this before, and I'll tell you again, the best Christians are servants. The best deacons are servants. The best teachers are servants. The best pastors are servants. In the Christian experience, the way up is down. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and God will exalt us. In verse 20, the Bible said, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Paul said, if I can just get some of them. I don't know this for a fact, but I can only imagine some of the labels that might have been tagged on the Apostle Paul in living the life that he lived. The Bible said in verse number 23, "And this do I, or this I do, for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain." In other words, if you're going to hear him say, "Well done," it's not going to be by accident. You're going to have to run on purpose. The Bible said, "Run that you may obtain," in verse 25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." I want to preach today for a little while on this subject, looking down through these verses, verse 16 down through verse number 27, on this subject, on the way to being a castaway. On the way to being a castaway. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand why you'd preach like that." Well, number one, it's in the Bible. And number two, God's word and God's men are still warning God's people. Amen? And I believe with all of my heart that this is not just a warning for you, it's a warning for me. I believe it's not just a warning for preachers, but it's a warning for every child of God in this generation that we live in. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Father, I thank you today for the purpose of the Word of God in our hearts and in our lives. You said, Lord, to reprove, to rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Lord, we're living in a generation that wants to be exhorted all the time. But God, there comes time when we need to look in the Word of God, Lord, and see the error of our way. Help us, our Father, today. I don't know who this message is for. I believe it's for all of us. God, that you would warn us. And God, there may be somebody today that's down this trail that needs to turn and get back, Lord, to where they once were with you. Now, I pray today, Lord, that you would help us. God, will give you glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to look at this subject today on the way to becoming a castaway. Castaway comes from the Greek word adokimos. That's a hard one for me to say, but what it means is unapproved or disapproved. In the context here, it's not talked about being disapproved or unapproved concerning salvation, but it's talking about disapproved or being unapproved concerning service. What's at stake here is not redemption, but reward. And I believe it's important. Every child of God should want to hear him say, "Well done, my child," one day after a while. Now, the Apostle Paul is giving us some things here, and he closes out in verse 27. He said, "I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection." Let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you believe with Pastor that this is not just a man of God, but a great man of God? And let me just say it like this. If this great man of God was concerned with what I'm going to address today, don't you believe it would behoove us to be concerned about that as well? I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the devil getting our marriages. I'm tired of the devil getting our churches. I'm tired of the devil getting our homes. Say amen. I believe, my friend, listen, God can help us if we listen to him today. Listen. On the way to being a castaway. Let me give you four things here that I see that there's a problem with when we're going down this way towards being a castaway. Number one, there's a problem with the fire. Look here, if you will, in verse number 16 down through verse number 18. Paul said, "Though I preach the gospel," he said, "I have nothing to glory of." Watch this now. for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. You say, preacher, what do you mean a problem with the fire? Let me just say something to you right here. See if you agree with me. How many can remember when you were born again? When God saved your soul? How many can remember the love that God put in your heart for the saints? How many can remember the love that God put in your hearts for the Bible, for the Scripture? The love that God put in your heart to pray. The love that God put in your heart. Help me right here, church. For sinners. How many can remember the love that God put in your heart? I'm going to tell you something right now. You say, preacher, I don't remember God putting any love in my heart. I'd be concerned whether I've been saved or not. Because the Bible said one of the ways you can know that you've passed from death unto life is because you love the brethren. Amen. I believe, my friends, listen, when a man gets saved, he begins to love things he used to hate, and he begins to hate things that he used to love. How many believe that? Amen. Now, on the way to being a castaway, there's a problem with the fire. I want you to see here, Paul was on fire. You remember in the Bible over in the Old Testament, Nadab and Abihu, they brought and offered strange fire. Amen. You say, preacher, what is strange fire? I'll tell you what it is. It's a fire that does not come from the altar of God. It's a fire, my friend, that might look like a fire. It might look like a flame. But I tell you what, there'll be no substance in it because it's not birthed of God. Now watch this. Paul was preaching. Paul said, woe is me. You remember Jeremiah? You remember that, don't you? You remember where Jeremiah said, I'm not going to speak in his name. I'm going to tell you, whatever preacher gets down once in a while, say amen. I feel sorry for them that's ready to resign every Monday morning. But everybody gets down every once in a while. Oh, Jeremiah got down in his day. He said, I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to mention his name. But the word of God said that word, that Bible, was like a fire burning down inside of him. And he couldn't help himself. He couldn't help himself. I believe with all my heart. You say, preacher, well, I don't read my Bible like I used to. But preacher, I'm doing all right. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're on your way to being a castaway. Oh, preacher, I used to love the Bible. I used to love the saints. I used to be faithful to church. I used to, my friend, be faithful to the Word of God, faithful to pray. You say, preacher, oh, but I'm doing good, preacher. That's our problem right there. When we get to missing, I mean, listen, you know what, that old car, when it gets to missing, it ain't going to be long and it'll quit. Best thing to do is when you get a little miss in it, find out where it's coming from. Amen. Find out which plug wire it is. Amen. I don't even know if it got wires on them anymore. I'm surprised you can't. I'm out there the other day at the flea market. Brother John and I stopped over here. There's a guy with a 57 Chevrolet. He raised the hood on that thing, and it looked like a peanut sitting down inside of a basketball. The engine did. Amen. He said, preacher, what that reminds you? Reminded me when I could crawl up on the fender of Daddy's truck and watch him tune it up. Amen. I could sit inside there with the motor and watch. I dare you try to get under them things now. Amen. Can't do it. Problem with the fire. Problem with the fire. I'm going to tell you something right now. This pastor has to watch that fire. I believe with all my heart that I'm just as apt to get cold as you are. But when I get a problem with the fire and that word no longer burns like it once burned, I was thinking this morning as I was preparing to preach, y'all don't have to believe me, but it's the truth. For almost 2 years while I was waiting on God to open a door, I'd put that welding hood down, and I'd tell you more times than not, I'd have to lift that welding hood up and wipe the tears out of my eyes. There'd be tears dripping out of that welding hood. Why? Because I tell you, I was waiting for God to give me an opportunity to deliver that word that was burning in my heart. Went to a preacher's conference years ago, and a preacher put his arm around me, and he said, Brother Vinoy, he said, time you pastor a little while, you'll cool off. I say, God help us. We shouldn't be colder than we was when he saved us. We ought to be hotter than we've ever been. We shouldn't be lukewarm, and we shouldn't be cold. We ought to be set ablaze with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When there's a problem with the fire, I'm on my way to being a castaway. Listen to this. I believe with all of my heart.
I was sitting over there thinking this morning as I was preparing to preach, I could remember, how many of y'all know what a cross tie is? How many of y'all know what a landscaping timber is? I can remember taking them landscaping timbers and taking a chainsaw and notching them. I notched one halfway, notched the other one halfway, and put them together. And I made me a little cross. I put it on the hillside, made one a little bigger, one a little smaller, and one a little smaller. Put me three crosses up there, drove some nails in them, painted a little bit of red around the nails, and I preached to the children's church. He said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about there was a fire. I tell you what, if I'd preach to anybody that would listen. God reminded me this morning of being out there with them children. There's probably about 50 of them gathered around in chairs on the parking lot. I had them crosses nailed up on the bank. Had a piece of rebar drove in the ground. Had them stapled off. I preached about this man over here, this thief that died in his sin. I preached about this thief over here that died to his sin. I preached about that man in the middle, the Lord Jesus, that died for our sin. And I can remember God brought it back to my memory. Two precious youngins came and said yes to the Lamb of God that morning. Say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, hey, pastor better watch it, and you better too, or my friend will be without that fire that we once had burning in our bosom for the Word of God and for the things of God, for the house of God, for the saints of God, and for sinners that are dying and going to hell without God. Problem with the fire. If there's a problem with the fire, we've already on our way to being a castaway. Second thing I saw in the message, there's a problem with our freedom. Watch here. In verse number 19, he said, "Though I be free from all men." Let me just say something to you right here. You know what a lot of people want in salvation? They want to be free from hell, and that's all they want. They want a fire escape. That's all they want. They just want to get out of hell free card. Amen. They just want to be saved. So as by fire. But if we're going to hear him say, "Well done, my friend," there, we got to watch that there's not a problem with the fire and a problem with our freedom. God didn't set us free for ourselves. He didn't set us free for our sin. He set us free to serve him and to serve others. You see, Sister Brooke, God don't need soap. He don't need toothpaste. He don't need shampoo. But I tell you what, every time you carry it over, he said, "Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." You say, every time, church, I asked Sister Brooke if she had plenty of stuff, said we had plenty. I tell you, Brother Brian, you brought it to our attention, amen? And God said, "Get it together." And I believe whatever we do, we ought to do it heartily, as unto the Lord. But we ought to serve others, because when we do, we're serving him. God don't need a sandwich. But somebody where you live today might need a sandwich. God don't need a tire changed. But when you stop and help somebody change a tire, you never know. Amen. I've heard preachers, Brother John, you've probably heard stories where preachers pulled up to the gas pump and didn't have anybody for gas. And somebody walked over and put gas in their car for them. You say, "Preacher, what were they doing?" I tell you what they were doing. They had that fire burning. They had faith. And they believe God would take care of them. Amen. I believe with all of my heart that there's a problem with the fire. We're on our way to being a castaway. Let me give you something right here. The Bible's teaching us here. Christ made us free to serve. My friend, listen. And when we lose a servant's heart. Are you listening to me? When we lose a servant's heart. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, ladies, listen to me. When you lose that servant's heart, I'm telling you, washing them dishes will not be like it was when you had a servant's heart. All of us can go back to mothers and grandmothers. I'm telling you, that cooked and sewed, amen, and cleaned. And they did it with a joyful spirit. They did it with a servant's heart. And they did it because they loved God and because they loved the family. But when we lose a servant's heart, gentlemen, we're on our way to being a castaway. That's what happens. You're headed to work. And instead of thanking God you've got a job, you're murmuring and you're complaining. Instead of thanking God you got a wife, you're looking at somebody else's. On the way to being a castaway. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Apostle Paul was a great man of God. And if this man of God sounds this warning, we better sit up straight, open our hearts and take it. Amen. God's trying to help us. Listen, nobody's going to remember how you started, but they're going to remember how you finish. They're going to remember how you finish. There's a problem with the fire, a problem with our freedom. We lose that servant's heart. Look at that word became in verse number 20. He said, unto the Jews, I became. And verse number 22, to the weak became I as weak. I believe with all my heart you read about these great old men of God in this Old Testament, and they identified with their people. They identified with their nation. And my friend Paul right here is identifying with folks that need help. He's preaching to a church that's carnal. He's preaching to a church that's got division in it. And he's trying to help them that they wouldn't be a castaway. Oh, friend of mine, I believe with all my heart, when there's a problem with the fire, not only do we lose a problem with our freedom, we lose our servant's heart, but we lose sight of the harvest. Can I tell you this? Where there's no vision, the people perish. We lose sight of the harvest. Brother Johnny, I'm not picking on you. I'm not. But I'm going to tell you something right now. We got to get past just trying to maintain what we got. And go get another one. Church, I'm not picking on us. Amen. This morning. But we can't get in that comfort zone. Say amen. Just try to maintain. Amen. I'm telling you, there's people dying and going to hell without God. And when we lose a servant's heart and we lose sight of the harvest, we're on our way to being a castaway. Sitting on a shelf somewhere. Disapproved of God. Oh, friend. Paul said, listen, God made him free. He turned right around and said, he made me free so I could serve. I want to be a servant to all. My life verse, friend, is this. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourself your servant for Jesus' sake. I believe with all of my heart, listen, God wants us to be servants. Amen. As long as I'm around this place, I'll try to set an example. Amen. I want to be a servant of the living God. I was in Connecticut years ago. That church was running between 400 and 500 people, and in the missions conference, I would say we was averaging around 250. But on Sunday morning, they'd have 400 to 500 people. They had a big banquet, a missions banquet, and they had the cooking from all the different countries that was represented. You know what I mean? If it was an Asian dish, somebody going to Asia or Japanese or Chinese or... And I tried to find somebody going to West Virginia that had some dumplings. Amen. But anyway, we had a great big meal. You can say whatever you want to this morning. I'm just trying to make a point. Somebody will notice if you have a servant's heart. Brother Ralph, they got done and they started stacking chairs and stacking tables and all that stuff at the end of that meal. Their floor was tile. Here come guys with mop buckets. I said, give me one of them. I got that mop bucket and I went that mop down in there and I wrung her out and I went to mopping. There's about 8 or 10 of us mopping. And a lady in that church took me by the elbow and she said, preacher, I've never seen a missionary mop before. I'm going to tell you something right now. The missionary ought to be the first one with a mop in his hand. He said, preacher, that ain't right. I'm telling you, God wants us to be servants. Servants. My brother Napper that came here and preached in Sunday school one morning, maybe a couple times now, I'm not sure. But brother Napper, when he got saved, he went to the preacher. He said, preacher, ain't got to be something around here for me to do. He said, ain't there some toilets that needs to be cleaned? He said, ain't there something I could do? And I'm telling you, he just went to doing whatever he could because God put a love in his heart for the house of God, for the people of God, for the Word of God, and for the service of God Almighty. Amen. Oh, friend of mine, when there's a problem with the fire, we're on our way to being a castaway. When there's a problem with our freedom, we're on our way to being a castaway. Listen, we lose sight of the harvest. We lose a servant's heart. Let me give you this. Look at verse 24 through 26. I'm trying to get done with this morning. I believe God wants me to get this thought in. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, and so fight I not as one that beateth the air. You say, preacher, what is there a problem with? When there's a problem with the fire, and there's a problem with our freedom, here'll be the next problem. There'll be a problem with our faithfulness. This is talking about a race here. It's talking about a race. Let me give you something about a race. Sometimes there's something called a false start. How many knows what that is? Somebody jumped the gun, and it's a false start. And they'll give you, I think, a couple different chances to overcome that. Amen? But if it's a false start, you just start all over again. I'm going to tell you something right now. You want to hear, well done, my child? The very first thing you need to make sure of is that you're His child. Anything else is a false start. And there's not going to be a reward, my friend, for a false start. How many's with me? I thought about, as I was preparing to preach this morning, a little while back in the Olympics, there was a guy, and his name was Usain Bolt. How many remembers him? And he was a Bolt. I mean, to watch that boy run, I'm telling you what's true, it was unbelievable. And he had won. But the next Olympics come around, and he got lazy. He didn't train like he did before. He didn't eat like he did before. And then he got in trouble. It might not have been the Olympics. It might have been them preliminaries right in there. And he realized that he wasn't faithful and dedicated the way that he was, and that wasn't going to get the job done. So he went back to a proper diet, and he went back to a proper training, and he was able to win the race the next time around. Amen. You say, preacher, what do you mean faithfulness? There's a problem with our fire, a problem with our freedom, then there'll be a problem with our faithfulness. The things that we used to be faithful to, we'll no longer be faithful to. Watch this. Not only do we need to be concerned in the race with that false start and that foolish training, but we need to remember the finish line. If we're going to hear Him say, well done, He's not going to be saying that to castaways. Disapproved, unapproved. That's not going to happen. It's going to be those, my friend, that stayed by the stuff. Those that have been faithful to the Lord. Amen. Now watch this. Problem with the fire. A problem with our freedom. A problem with our faithfulness. Let me just go ahead and say this. If there was a time when you used to be in church on Sunday night, you ought to get back to it. If there was a time when you used to go to Sunday school, you ought to get back to it. If there was a time when you used to go to prayer meeting, you ought to get back to it. Let me tell you something right now. Being unable and being unwilling is two different things. Two different things. I'm not against, my friend, our country helping people that are disabled. Would somebody help me? Being disabled is one thing, but being unwilling is another thing. And I believe with all of my heart this morning, listen, God is sounding a warning. You say, what happens, preacher? Well, we start missing Wednesday night. We start missing Sunday night. Next thing you know, we'll be missing Sunday morning once in a while. And the next thing you know, we'll have to send out a search party. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say when there's a problem with the fire, it will lead to a problem with our freedom, and it will lead to a problem with our faithfulness. Amen. Let me ask you a question. How'd you like for me to show up once in a while? You say, preacher, that ain't right. You shouldn't preach like that. God's trying to help somebody. I'm telling you, God's trying to help a family. God's trying to help a home. God's trying to help this church. God's trying to help this community. Amen. Moses stood and he said, who's on the Lord's side? God, help us to be faithful in this generation. You say, I didn't come for preaching like that. I didn't either, but God's given it to us. I told you God's going to sound a warning. We've got children that are unsaved, teenagers that are unsaved, and we need to be faithful to the house of God. Watch this. The problem with the fire leads to a problem with our freedom, leads to a problem with our faithfulness. Listen to me carefully. Please get this. I'm going to take about 5 or 10 minutes. But the last thing it leads to is a problem with our flesh. Paul said, I keep under my body. Let me tell you something right now. When a preacher falls into immorality, that didn't happen. That did not start with immorality. That did not start with his flesh. That did not start, my friend, with temptation. That started with an absence of the fire in that man of God's life. It wouldn't matter if it was a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or some faithful member. I'm telling you, when one of them goes down, it didn't start with the stinking flesh. It started with the absence of the fire. Paul said, I keep under my body. I'm going to tell you what will keep under this body, the fire. It'll keep this body under subjection. It'll keep it under control. Say amen. You draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. I believe with all of my heart, we're living in a generation where we preach about watching that flesh, but we better preach about keeping that fire. Because that flesh will only get the upper hand when the fire dies down. And when the freedom is not right, and when the faithfulness is not right. Paul said, I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I myself have preached to others, I would be a castaway. A castaway. Disapproved. You want to pray for a preacher? How many wants to pray for a pastor? I tell you, I'd pray for him. God, keep him close to the fire. God, if you'll just keep him close to the fire, he can win that battle with his stinking flesh. He can be faithful if he can just stay close to the fire. He won't use his freedom and abuse his freedom in the gospel if he'll stay close to the fire. Oh, friend of mine, there's a problem here with the flesh. Now, wait a minute. How many of y'all know what Romans 7's got in it? Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. How many realizes that? Well, when he gets down there, he gets kind of in a hopeless state. And he said, who shall deliver me from this body of this death, this flesh? He said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's the only victory. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Think about this for just a minute. I believe when that flesh comes, watch this. Look at verse 26. We ought to fight. Why, preacher? Listen, he said in verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. Let me just say some things about the fight real quickly. Number one, it's a certain fight. There's not a teenage boy, a teenage girl, a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather sitting in this building that's not fighting the same fight. It's a certain fight. You say, well, preacher, maybe he fights it, maybe he don't. Maybe she fights it, maybe she... No. You can fight or you'll be overcome. And you'll be, my friend, declared disapproved. A castaway on the way to being a castaway. It's a certain fight. Secondly, it's a constant fight. Look at verse 27. He said, but I keep. You know what that means? How many remembers what Paul said when he said this? I die daily. What's that mean? That means the fight has to be fought every day of our life. It's not only a certain fight, but it's a constant fight. Oh, you say, preacher, when's that fight going to be over? Glory to God. How many knows the answer to that? Woo! When we get out of this flesh and get our new body, that fight will be over. It'll be over. It'll be over. It's a constant fight. It's a certain fight. But let me give you this. How many remembers over there where Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered? He said, I have fought a good fight. It's a crowning fight. Amen. I wrote something down. I'll go up there and get it in a minute. But Paul was able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, watch this now, but unto all them who are saved. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. He says, to all them who love His appearing. I'm going to tell you something right now. You don't have to believe me, but every believer is not going to love His appearing when He comes. Some are going to be standing there, Brother Rick, with confidence. Lord, I've been serving You. Lord, I've been talking to You. Lord, I've been living for You. Lord, I've been looking for You. But that same Bible I'm preaching out of teaches that some will be ashamed before Him at His coming. I just got to thinking, wonder what happened if Jesus decided to come between 6 and 7:30 on Sunday night. Would we be proud of where we are? Or would we be ashamed of where we are? Would we be proud of what we're doing? Or would we be ashamed of what we're doing? You say, preacher, I ain't never heard you preach like that. If I get to preach around here long, you'll hear me preach like this again. God's trying to help us. I want every one of you all to hear Him say, well done, my child. Not just a few. Not just half. Not just two-thirds. I want every one of God's people at Bible Way to hear Jesus say, well done, my child. Well done, my child. Let me ask you a question. I wrote this down because the Lord gave me this statement. Think about this for just a minute. Sister Geraldine, they said, Brother Jack used to preach on sin, did he? Did he really? He had a lot of audacity, didn't he? Amen. No, what he was full of the Holy Ghost of God. He knew that we was made out of this old stinking flesh. And this old flesh will give us a trouble, amen. But let me ask you this right now. I wrote this down here at the bottom of the page because my little finite mind won't remember it. If Jesus were to come right now, would you be crowned for your faithfulness? Or would you be a castaway for your foolishness? That question applies to preacher too. We're coming upon revival season. We've got revival scheduled. Brother Brian keeps announcing them, and I hope you're praying for them. But some of you ain't even thought about attending one of them. But I'm going to tell you what. God wants us to be crowned for our faithfulness. He does not want us to be a castaway for our foolishness. Well done, my child. Brother Gale said a while ago, he said, preacher, I don't know if I'll get to hear him say that or not. I don't either. But I'm going to strive. Sister Jean come out of the choir and she said, preacher, that's what I want to hear my Lord say. I want to hear Him say, well done, my child. None of us deserve it. All of grace is our story. He said, preacher, are you here because of your faithfulness? Listen to me carefully. I'm here because of His faithfulness. But I'm going to tell you, there has to be a willingness, Brother Jeff, you taught about, on our part. There has to be a willingness on our part. We're living in a generation, listen to me carefully, where God is saying, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. But how many realizes there's a lot of half-heartedness? God wants us to put our heart into it. Put our life into it. Give it our best shot. God wants us to hear, well done. He said, listen to me carefully. Because you've been faithful over, and I know the next words, a few. Just a few things. Just a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Help us, Jesus. How many of y'all still believe I love you? Once in a while, God's men and God's word will sound a warning. I believe God has fired a warning shot. If we're not careful, we're on our way to becoming a castaway. How'd you like for Aubrey and Avery and Aaron to remember their papa as being a castaway? Brother Joe, you've been faithful all these years. Brother Joe, you've got flesh. Ain't that right? And without that fire, God only knows what that flesh will do. Ain't that right? So it don't matter how old we are, how young we are. We need to be concerned with the fire, with our freedom, with our faithfulness, and with our flesh. We better be concerned. We better be concerned. Let's pray. Father, I love you this morning. Thank you, God, for the message. Lord, I know it's definitely not popular preaching. I know that, Lord. But Lord, I know this. You're trying to help someone. You're trying to help a family. You're trying to help someone, Lord, that they might hear you say one day after a while, "Well done, my child." God, I know that if Paul was concerned with these things, then certainly, Lord, we should be concerned. God, it's my prayer that you'd take the message, that you'd speak to hearts. Help us, our Father, not to be disapproved, but to be approved. God, would you put your stamp of approval on the ministry? Would you put your stamp of approval on our families, on our teenagers, on our children? Would you help us in these days?